We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection. And the majority of the time, she'll choose life. But they can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside them. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or visit preborn.com.
The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
There are some things that we really need in a Christian life. Let me see. Joy, and then there's patience, wisdom, and guess what? In the book of James, it talks about those things, and we can have them in our lives. This is Bert Harper along with Dr. Alex McFarland, and it's a joy to come to you live today. Yesterday, I know you got a pre-record, and that was unusual. We had some weather issues here in Tupelo, Mississippi, and we thought it was better for us to play it safe and be at home and not take a chance on tornadoes hitting. And Alex, I know you guys had some weather in North Carolina. Was it like here, mostly rain where you were?
Yeah, it was really rainy in North Carolina yesterday and last night. And we were certainly praying when I heard that, you know, I think even some of the schools got sent home. And I know Tupelo can be susceptible to tornadoes and weather like that. So we were praying for you, and I trust everybody was safe and sound.
We are safe and sound, but I heard you left the south, and you're north of the Mason-Dixon line today. Is that right?
A little bit. I am, for the first time ever, coming to you with Exploring the Word from Wisconsin. Early this morning, I got up and flew to Madison, Wisconsin, and Bert, I'm out here for a homeschool conference. And listen to this, we give God the glory, and we're going to be in the book of James here in a moment, folks. But I landed, I drove to the venue, got a quick bite of lunch, and I'm in line to check in at this hotel here in Wisconsin. And they say there are 3,000 people here already, and there'll be several hundred more. And I'll be speaking on apologetics, biblical worldview, and talking to the youth here about defending the Christian faith. But I was waiting in line to check in at the hotel, and there was a group, and a lady goes, "Alex McFarland, Exploring the Word. Oh my goodness." And I turned around. It was a group from Chicago, from a Christian school in Chicago, Illinois. And they were here for the event. And they said, "Oh my goodness, tell Bert we listened to Exploring the Word." And I said, "I will do it." So to God be the glory up here, coming to you from Wisconsin. Well, and amen. It is snowing,
yeah.
By the way.
Yeah, I knew 2 inches up that way. So, Alex, I'm glad you're there. And it thrills me to know that you're getting to travel and be a part and help those young people, help those parents. And so we're thankful for that. Well, let's Hallelujah. Get into the book of James. And we stopped in verse 5 where it talked about asking for wisdom. And God gives that wisdom. He gives it. And so, Alex, it says in verse 6, "But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave out of the sea tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord." Now listen to this. "He is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways." Now I want to ask you, wisdom and a double-minded man, they're not in the same person, are they?
No, they're not. They're not. You know, the Bible over and over talks about being decisive. You know, like Joshua said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let your yes be yes and your no be no." And that's why, you know, Bert, when we get saved, we come to Christ, we put our faith in Jesus. But that's not the only time in the life of a Christian that you have to draw a line in the sand and take your stand. Satan is going to try to tempt you. And I want to say this, and I've had to learn this, I know we all have. If you're going to walk the Christian path, you can't be double-minded, you know? That's why we say, look, if you're going to embrace Jesus, be all in. And Bert, when I was in college and the Lord saved me at 21 years old, a lot of my friends made fun of me. They really did. And in my college classes, I had professors that mocked the creation account of the book of Genesis and other things. But by the grace of God, and it was totally the Lord, I just, from day one, I thought, and this thought went through my head, Bert, the Sunday that I went forward, I thought, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it.
Amen.
Do you know what I mean, Bert?
I do. I agree with you. I don't guess I even gave a lot of things a second thought. Evolution never was. It made no sense. It still makes no sense. Creation does make sense that there is God and He's the designer. Alex, can you name anything? And we don't need to get started on this, go down this trail just for a moment. Can you name anything that has design that does not have a designer?
Nothing. Wherever there is design, there's a designer. And let me just say, Bert, with moral issues, and I was talking to some Christian friends a couple of days ago about the issue of life. Look, we know life begins at conception. We know that humans are made in the image of God. We know there are males and there are females. That's all, you know? Jesus said He is the way to salvation. So, Bert, I love it when James chapter 1 says that in verse 8, a double-minded person is unstable in all their ways. One of the things that, and I learned this in psychology, there's a thing called cognitive dissonance, to be saying one thing but doing something else. It creates tension inside. No human being can long endure the inner conflict of dissonance. And so let me just say, what people want, peace, to feel okay within yourself, plant your flag with Jesus. Believe what His Word says. Follow the leadings of the Holy Spirit. Don't be double-minded. Bert, life goes so much better when you're single-minded, and that singleness of purpose is that you're going to follow Christ.
Amen. That is the way, and He is the way. He's the truth, and He's the life. Alex, one more thing, and I know I'm on my soapbox on this.
Amen.
You mentioned abortion, homosexual marriage, transgenderism. Listen, if it were not for evolutionary thought, those would have never come up. You catch?
Exactly.
That is the whole idea. Homosexual marriage, abortion, transgenderism, they're products of evolutionary thought, Darwinian thought, Darwinian evolution. And if that's true, if Darwinian evolution were true, then why not those things? Why not? But when you look at the Word of God, and you talked about double-minded and then being single-minded, the Word of God is truth. The Bible says it is settled in heaven. And so this is why we come back to the Word. What does the Word say about that? And
amen.
As best we can, and when it speaks, we want to line up with the Word. Well, Alex talks about the double-minded man, but then verse 9, it moves on. Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation, because as a flower of the field, he will pass away. For no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat than it withers the grass, the flower falls, and its beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man also will fade away in his pursuits. Now listen to this one. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been proved, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Now why would I read that? It talks about humiliation and pride, rich, and then those that are humble. But listen, both sides, whether you're rich or poor, healthy or unhealthy, listen, here's the issue. You're going to have to endure temptation. Now, the temptations may come at us in different lights, because what would draw someone away might not draw the other person away, Alex. But Satan, he's not all-knowing, and I praise God for that, but he is a studier of a student of our life and our choices, and he knows where to come along and lay that trap. That's what they called it. It says we're not ignorant of his devices. So, Alex, here we are. We better know who we are in humility, give it to God, so that when temptation comes, we're able to depend upon the Lord and be overcomers.
Yes, indeed. Well, you know, verse 9 and 10 and 11, there's a little bit of irony here. Believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high position, and the rich should take pride in their humiliation. And you think, well, you know, poverty, that's high, and riches, that's abased and brought low. Well, you know, here's the thing. Whatever we have is a gift from God. I mean, life, abilities, resources, God entrusts us with these things. And I've seen it many times. I mean, when somebody is faithful with what they've been given, God will entrust them with more. But there's a little bit of irony here, isn't there, Bert, that the humble circumstances, impoverished people, and let me just say this, I've known poor people that were ungodly, I've known wealthy people that were very godly, and vice versa. But here's the thing, the Bible talks about that all of these things are going to fade away. Blessed is the one who, in verse 12, I think your translation said endures. It really means perseveres under trials, because having stood the test, the person receives the crown of life that the Lord has promised to them that love him. So let me just throw this in here. Somebody listening, maybe you're in a hard place, and maybe you're under some stresses and burdens that you're just looking for how are you going to get out of these. God has promised, hang in there. He will help you. He will hold you up. You love the Lord, and he's got not only preservation and protection in this life, but the crown of life when you see him face to face. And Bert, God keeps his promises, doesn't he?
Amen. 100%. There is no time where what he promised did not come about. That is where we stand. That's the knowledge of the Word of God. Now, Alex, what it does, it takes that thought about temptation, and he expands on this about when it happens and what the results are. So let me read this as well, starting in verse 13. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Alex, what a statement. Those three verses, if we yes. could only see down the road what we desire and what we think, and when we put our make bad choices, if we could only see, now what will the result be? My dad tried, and he was a wise man, he was a good man. He'd say, son, what will your choices lead to? That is such a way. Alex, have you heard this saying? Decisions determine destiny.
Exactly, exactly. By the way, here's another little irony. The language is just so powerful. It says, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Remember Romans 6:23, that the wages of sin is death. And so when something is born, that implies life. But here's the thing, the birthing, the result, the outcome of your disobedience to God is death.
So God doesn't want you to be deceived, and that's the whole idea. Be not deceived. And we're going to talk about that, and we're going to look at the deceiver that wants to bring death into lives. So don't go away. We'll be back right after this break.
When Antoinette found out she was pregnant, she was in a bad place. She didn't know how she could raise her child on her own. She searched for an abortion clinic, and God led her to a preborn clinic where she met her baby on ultrasound. When she saw her baby and heard the heartbeat, she broke down crying, and the nurse reminded her that babies are blessings from God. She chose life. Her daughter's name is Treasure because she is a gift from God.
Amen. What a great song. Glory to the Lord on high. Alex McFarland, Bert Harper, we're in James chapter 1. We invite you to turn in your Bible and follow along. In just a moment, we're going to get to what I think is one of the most convicting verses in the New Testament. But here's the number. In a few moments, we will take your phone calls and Bible questions, and we would be so honored to hear from you. The number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. We'd love for you to call in with a Bible question. But, Bert, let me continue in verse 16, James chapter 1, wonderful book of God's Word. But it says, "Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created." Every good and perfect gift coming down from above, from the Father of lights. Bert, that is just so magnificent, so beautiful, so powerful, isn't it?
It is. He knows how to give good gifts. One of the parables that Jesus gave was about an unjust man giving gifts. If he knows how to give good gifts to his children, how much more would our Heavenly Father, a good Father, give good gifts to us? And so this also reminds me of what they did. They was trying to say Jesus, who was healing people, and because he was doing it on the Sabbath, they said, "Oh, no." And they said, we can't give God credit. So it's demons, casting out demons and healing. And this is the world's thought, anything but God, anything but Jesus. And here we find out, don't be deceived. That's what he starts off with, Alex. Don't be deceived. Do not let the world deceive you. Do not let Satan deceive you. He is a liar, the prince of liars. He really is. And so here we find out, what is deception? Usually deception is something that they can get as close to the truth without it being truth. Okay? If you have, you travel a lot. And it says to be at the airport an hour early, and your flight is at 8 o'clock, so you get there at 7. But if your clock is 5 or 6 hours wrong, and you know good and well that it's more than 4 o'clock in the morning, so, man, you make the adjustment. But if it's just 30 minutes wrong, you may miss out, Alex. So as close as Satan can get to truth, that's how close he wants to get with the lie and the deception. And guess what? When you miss that mark and you're a little bit off, but as you journey, guess what's going to happen? You're going to be way off when you get to the end of your journey. In other words, if you're just a degree off when you fly out of Greensboro, North Carolina, and you go into Madison, but you're one or two degrees off, listen, you'll probably wind up in Minnesota.
Yeah. Well, I know you've probably heard illustrations about when they were doing the space program at NASA. I mean, they were so precise about those calculations, because I remember reading in one book, Bert, they were saying that if they took off from Cape Canaveral and the trajectory of that rocket was even off in a hundredth of an inch, by the time you get out there in space, you're off by hundreds of miles. So things matter. And that's why, look at verse 18, that we are born through the word of truth. Now, there's the word of God, which is the Bible, but there's the Son of God, who is Jesus. You know, John chapter 1 says that he is the Logos, the word. Now, I got to share something with you that I just think is so powerful. It says that we who have been born through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. Now, I looked up that word, Bert, first fruits, And it means a lot of things, but it means the first of the harvest gotten in.
Yes.
Now you say, now what does that mean? Well, here's the thing. You remember Jesus says, "Behold, I make all things new." See, folks, one of these days, this fallen world is going to be delivered from the bondage of sin. Christ is going to make all things new, and he's going to return one day, and there'll be a kingdom, eternal kingdom, wherein righteousness dwells. But do you know what he's already made brand new? Our heart and soul.
Amen.
Isn't that exciting? So, folks, you think about it. The Bible says that creation groans like birth pangs, longing for the return of Christ. But and he's going to speak, and the universe itself will be resurrected, reborn, purged of sin, made new. But you, if you're a believer, you're already been made brand new by being born again.
Amen.
We're the first fruits, aren't we?
We really are. And the new birth starts from within and works its way out. That's the way it works. Man, I was born in the 50s, grew up in the 60s, and Lyndon Baines Johnson started the war on poverty, and his idea was take people out of bad housing and put them in good housing, they would change. Take them out of the shacks in Appalachia and put them in a better home, they would change. Guess what they found out? Nothing changed, you know? Mm. They brought who they were with them. Have you ever heard, wherever I go, there I am? You know,
wow.
And, yes. if your heart is not changed, if you're not right with God, then I just want to tell you, you're going to miss the mark. You're talking about missing it. You can be good. You can do everything you can. But if you miss the mark of missing Jesus Christ as your Savior, your destination is not heaven. It is diametrically opposed to that. And that is a hell, a real place. And so you want to start with Christ, continue with Christ, finish with Christ. That's the whole idea. Alex, verse 19 starts off with word therefore. Now, when you hear the word therefore, you ask the question, what is it there for? Now, let's find out. My beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Now, Alex, I want to ask you a biological question. Mm-hmm. Let me see. One mouth, two ears. Is there a lesson to that besides just biological knowledge?
Maybe we're supposed to do twice as much listening as talking. And earlier I said, if there's one verse that I think is, I'm just speaking about me, this verse convicts me. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And Bert, I'm going to have to confess, I've not always gotten it right. I've been talking when I should have been listening, you know. Sometimes I've let emotions sit in the driver's seat. You know, I heard you say this years ago. You and I had not been on the radio long, and I thought it was just brilliant. You said, emotions are a good servant, but a terrible master. Yeah. Do you remember that you said that?
I do. And let me just share with you, if there's a book you need to read, Dr. Dobson, every book Dr. Dobson's written, get it and read it.
Amen. Just
tell you that. But the one, Emotions, Can You Trust Them? I want to just tell you, it'll help you out a lot if you can still get it. Alex, let me say something. I'll throw it right back to you. You're talking about listening. And I heard this years ago. Don't know the person that said it. Are you listening to learn or listening to answer? When you listen to learn, guess what you can do? You can probably answer helpfully and correctly. If you just listen to answer, you're probably just wanting to win the debate. So listen, it pays to listen to learn, so therefore you'll know how and better to answer. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, I really do pray this for myself, and only by the Holy Spirit can we live up to things like this. But, Bert, I want to be teachable.
Yes.
You know? I mean, yeah, I've been saved for 35 years. Praise God. But, you know, see, here's the thing. Salvation is an event, and sanctification is a journey. And we can never think that, you know, well, I've grown as much as I need to or can. No, we can always grow. And Bert, isn't it a beautiful thing when you meet like somebody who's a saint of God and maybe they've walked with Jesus for decades and they're still hungry for the word.
Amen.
And they're still enthusiastic about growing and learning. And that's why we are to listen, isn't it?
It really is, Alex. You said it so well. The people that I have, that I still most admire, are those people that were lifelong learners, showing forth the life of Jesus Christ. Listen, some of them were pastors, some of them were just lay people, some of them were professors that knew, some of them were female, some of them were male, but they stayed in the Word, following the Word, learning, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. And that's what you want to do. So how do you do it? Verse 21, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Listen, there's some things, and Paul makes a big deal of this several times, put off so you can put on. Now, I want to tell you, you probably won't put it on until you put it off. He's talking about the, you know, righteousness and filthiness. You got to listen, that filthiness and righteousness, they just don't dwell in the same body, you know? And Alex, that's the whole idea. Therefore, he is saying, you want to grow, you want to mature, you want to be doers of the word, put aside the overflow of wickedness, filthiness, and receive with meekness the implanted word. That word meekness has the idea of teachability. And the word receive here means welcome it. It's not receiving it with, oh, I don't know. No, welcome the word. And that's really what it could be translated, and welcome with meekness the implanted word.
And that word implanted, let's talk about that for a minute. I love the, you know, you talked about receiving the word. And it says at the end of verse 21, the word implanted in you. And interestingly, that's the word from which we get the word emphatic or emphasized. In other words, that you make what God's word says an emphasis in your life. I could say it this way. Take God at his word. Take God's word to heart. God's word says, be quick to listen, slow to speak. Well, let's pray that the Holy Spirit would cultivate that in us.
And that's going to take place through the Word of God. In other words, the Word of God will give us what we need in order to do that, right?
Exactly. And this is very famous in verse 22, a well-known scripture. Do not be hearers only, but doers of the Word. And don't deceive ourselves. And, you know, I believe in going to church every Sunday. In fact, Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night if your church has evening services. But you don't just sit there, hear a sermon, and walk out. Vance Havner said, you know, a lot of church members say, you know, well, I acknowledge that this was information, and they move on. No, not hearers only, but doers. And every time you open the Bible, there is the potential, if you'll allow it, for the Word of God to shape you, to hone you, to grow you, to instruct you. Very often, at least in my case, to convict me, you know. But it says, do what the Bible says. And verse 23, anyone who listens to the Word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what manner of man he is or what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law of God that gives freedom. Now, isn't that something? The law of God. See, here's another irony. You think of law as something that binds you and constrains and constricts you. No, according to James 1, verse 25, it is the law of God that gives freedom.
Amen. Alex.
You want to be set free, become a bond slave of Jesus.
Amen. And those of you that are wondering about this, it is true. Alex and I have experienced in freedom to be all that God wants you to be. It sets you free to do that. And notice he goes on and talks about, do not be a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. Listen, the blessing comes through obedience and following the Lord and doing. Now, I'm going to finish this real quickly so we can have this chapter, but we may come back a little bit tomorrow. If anyone among you thinks he is religious, I think we'll come back tomorrow, and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and the widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Now, Alex, again, we're reading this. We'll probably refer back to tomorrow because it goes into chapter 2. But let me see this. Have you noticed the words that are repeated? Being doers of the word and do not be deceived. If you're deceived, you're probably just going to be a hearer, and the things you do, they're really not going to amount to anything. They're not filled with love and faith, are they?
No, they're not. They're not. And, you know, the word there in verse 27, there's the word religion. And, you know, it's interesting because we know it's a relationship. It's not a religion. But here's the thing. The word religion, it's really a combination of two Latin words that means like the reconnecting of a torn ligament or the reinstatement of a forgotten law. Now, it's not law that saves you, but if you have been saved, you're going to begin to live morally according to God's word, aren't you?
We really are. Hey, we're going to take questions, and you might have a question about your relationship with the Lord or a Bible question. This is the number you call, 888-589-8840.
According to a recent report, Planned Parenthood continues to rake in billions despite dwindling clients. The biggest takeaway here is that Planned Parenthood is generating vast profits, including millions in taxpayer funding, and Preborn, that's you and me, are stealing their clientele, meaning the babies they are trying to kill. Preborn operates on a very slim budget, as they rescue over 200 babies every day, and they receive no government funding. Preborn's network of clinics are situated in the darkest corners, competing head-to-head with the abortion giants, and they need our help now more than ever. When you donate $28 to Preborn, you will offer a free ultrasound to an expectant mother caught in crisis. Once she hears the heartbeat and sees that precious life, her baby's chances at life doubles. Please sponsor a precious baby's life. Your tax-deductible gift will go directly towards saving babies. So be generous. You'll never regret saving a baby's life. Just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
You are strong and mighty. There's no one else like you. You are great and powerful. No one can do the things you do. You're the beginning and the end. You're the peace I find within. You're a great
Welcome back
God.
To Exploring the Word. Jesus is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, and we hope that he is the foundation of your life and soul. Well, the number is 888-589-8840. We would love to hear from you. If you've got a Bible question, we've just wrapped up James chapter 1, but you can ask any Bible question you would like. And hey, by the way, while we get those the phone numbers up there, 888-589-8840, let me say a word about Facebook. Brent Austin helps us look after the social media side of Exploring the Word. And Bert, we've had a lot of people, over 8,000 people just in the last little while, log on and like us on Facebook. I would love to see it hit 9 or 10,000. So if you would, you and your friends and maybe the people at your church, do this because we put out verses and we put out content. Like us on Facebook, if you would, and help spread the word about Exploring the Word.
That's right. And you'll catch a few personal things. There'll be a picture that Alex has seen because he's been somewhere, and Brent will get it and put it on Facebook, and he'll do some of that for me. And so there's some inside I would say information, but mostly pictures and words that you can get on Facebook that you don't get on the radio. So be a part of the Facebook family. Let's go to Mississippi. And Barbara, thank you for calling.
Hello?
Yes, you're on. Go right ahead, Barbara.
Yes, sir. This is a question about divorce. I was married for 25 years, got divorced because of a drug addiction. He was addicted to drugs, got addicted to drugs. Then I remarried like 8 years later. Am I living in sin by being married again?
Okay, Barbara, let me just make a blanket statement, Alex. Most of the time when we get questions like that, we give principles in the Word of God. And then, Barbara, it is one of those things, and Alex and I both sit down with people and get, let me just say, the full story of what has been happening, and it helps us. But what are the principles for divorce in the Bible, Alex?
Well, the Bible has a lot to say about this, and let me preface this by saying that you've said it. I think it's wise advice. The marriage that God wants to bless and succeed is the one that you're in, right?
Definitely.
Jesus, in Mark chapter 10 is just one of the scriptures. And what does Moses say about divorce? And Jesus says, you know, in the beginning, Moses allowed divorce because of the hardness of their hearts, but God made male and female, and then Jesus basically says that the grounds for divorce is adultery. Now, let me say this. When one spouse commits adultery, they have broken their marriage vows. But I want to say this, and this is just me talking. When I went to work for James Dobson 20 years ago, actually 20 years and 3 months ago, and Bert, if anybody ever was a champion for marriage and fidelity, it is Dr. Dobson. But he said that there's abuse and abandonment and adultery. Those were like the three A's. And I have seen situations where maybe there wasn't sexual adultery, but one spouse had, by all accounts, abandoned the marriage. Violence, substance abuse, just an actual like abandonment, walked away. And so I'm not saying that divorce is ever good or desirable. It really is a sad thing. It's like a death, really, isn't it? But for somebody that, you know, after years and years and years, you divorced, you remarried, I would say commit your way to the Lord where you are, as you are. C.S. Lewis said this, and I'll throw it back to you, Bert. C.S. Lewis said, you can't unscramble an egg.
Yeah.
And he was talking about the fact, you can't now, at this juncture, break a lot of decisions and circumstances and go backwards. I would not counsel somebody to leave the marriage they're in. Would you, Bert?
I would not. I have not. I've said, wait. There may be some separation because of violence, abuse. But let me just say this, and we'll go on to the next question, Barbara, and we hope we've helped you. Go back, even after 8 years of this marriage, if you made mistakes in the first marriage, don't ignore them. Live up to them, confess them, and correct them, and bring something better into the second marriage that you're in. You catch what I'm saying, Alex? Because even if it was abuse on the other person, if it was abandonment on the other person, still, now I'm not saying blame yourself. Don't you hear me saying that? Examine yourself. See what I could have done and what I should not have done to make that marriage better, and bring that into the marriage that you're in now. So, Barbara, we hope that helps. And just listen, what you're in that marriage, serve the Lord. And just serve him and love your husband and your family. Let's go to Louisiana and talk to Lynn. Lynn, thank you for calling.
Hey, thanks, Brother Bird. I was just calling to ask, get some insight. You know, the spiritual warfare, the devil works on your mind to get to your heart, the way I understand it. Always making you think negative thoughts. You know, you ain't no good. You can't do this and that. And something about, I was trying to think about a verse or something about pulling down the stronghold. And I was just trying to get some insight on that and clarification on how to combat that and pray about it and all that.
Okay. Leon, thank you for calling. Alex, listen, the biblical heart, H-E-A-R-T, that they're talking about is your mind, your will, and your emotions. That's that. With your mind, you examine, you accept. With your will, you decide, yes, I will follow Christ. I will surrender my life to him. And it brings on this extra love and care, emotions that we serve the Lord with. And listen, it is a battle for the mind because Satan wants to get your mind thinking crooked in every area concerning anything that is wrong. Alex, he is a deceiver. We've been talking about that today, haven't we?
Well, we really have. And the word where strongholds really occurs is in 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. And it's really a word for like a fortress, you know, or a fort or a defensive thing. And it says that the word of God, Paul writes, we walk in the flesh. In other words, we're in our human body. But we're not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have the divine authority to pull down strongholds. And he goes on, and I know there's spiritual warfare. We pray in the name of Jesus. You know, we used to sing this old song, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, Satan will have to flee. And that's true. But it's Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10:5, we destroy arguments and every lofty thing that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive to Christ. So, Bert, the defeating of Satan, the spiritual victory, the pulling down of strongholds and vicious cycles and habits. It's prayer. It's the word of God. It's getting our mind renewed and fixed on God's perspective. And I truly believe in the word of God, in Jesus, in prayer, in the Holy Spirit, we have the means for victory.
We really
now,
do. Good.
If a Christian is to live and walk in victory, then it's going to have to be Jesus every day. You know, it's not just, you don't come to Jesus on an as-needed basis. You make him Lord of your life every day.
Jesus in the morning, Jesus in the noontime, Jesus even at the nighttime. One more thing. Let me add to this, Lynn, accountability. Jesus, you remember when he had sent the apostles out, the disciples out, and he gave them charge even over the demons. He wanted them to come back and tell him what they did. Accountability. The accountability sometimes is not, I don't think, pushed enough in our spiritual warfare. And like we've talked about John Wesley and the questions he would ask, Chuck Swindoll and the questions that they would go through with his staff. And I've started practicing that with our staff, and I want to tell you it helps in spiritual warfare when you pray, seek the Lord, turn away from evil, put in your heart those things that need to be there. The victory is to be found in Jesus Christ. Thank you so much, Lynn. Let's go to North Carolina. Eva, thank you for calling.
Thank you so much. I listen to y'all all the time since about 2008. And
wow.
You've been such a blessing to me. I heard Alex talking earlier about when it's so hard to forgive people and after they die, you know, and then it comes back to you, especially when you've been living for the Lord now for about 56, 57 years. But I was born illegitimate. My mother rejected me. My brothers and sisters rejected me. The only one that took care of me was my grandmother, for my mother would let her. I'd stay with her maybe 4 or 5 months, and then she'd come and get me again, carry me home. And I was extremely abused every way you can think of, my family, and just on and on and on and on. And then, of course, I got married and had three children. We were married about 8 years, didn't get along that good. He got real bad and beat on me. So I raised my youngest 18 years by myself. And when they got gone, they got on drugs and alcohol, and I had been carrying them to church since they were first nine all together when I was raising them by myself. In their real young years, six, seven, eight. And then all of a sudden, my daughter graduated from high school in 91. And her boyfriend, they'd been together about 6 months, and he was a very controlling guy. And one night, they called me 100 miles away at my job because they were all on their own. They were going and had jobs and on their own. I moved back to the town where my grandmama raised me, and they told me that he had killed her and himself and run the car into a tree, I guess, from jealousy.
Eva, listen.
20 years old.
Eva, listen, has God been faithful all this time with you? Has he been there for you?
My grandson for drugs in 2017, but I haven't turned loose the Lord. It's just made me pray more.
Yeah. Eva, listen. Thank you. Listen, we want to pray for you now to be overcoming. Alex, you can hear the pain, can't you?
Ma'am, I want to tell you, the journey that you have been on has not been easy, I can tell. I really commend you for trusting in Jesus, staying with the Lord. And, you know, you've done the right things. But everybody has to make the choice for themselves to do right. But you keep trusting the Lord, even in spite of pain. And you've had it, I can tell. But the Lord is faithful, and the Lord loves you very much. And the Lord has good things for you. And Bert, I would suspect there are a lot of people out there that also have had painful journeys. Could we just pray for the God of all comfort to be very real in the lives of this caller and people?
Go ahead, Alex. Yes, go ahead, brother.
Lord, our heart is just heavy to hear of some of the pain and just heartbreak that this lady has been through. But Lord, I know your heart is heavy because the Bible says that you are touched with the feelings of our infirmities and you care. So Lord, bless her. And Lord, draw her ever closer to yourself. And Lord, people out there that are hurting, and maybe people that have wondered, does anybody care? You care. We know you do. The Bible promises that you love us, that you are with us. And so, Lord Jesus, I do pray for the Holy Spirit of God to bring healing and just strength and hope. And Lord, we know in you there is always hope. Because you are with us and you're coming soon. We will see you face to face very soon. So, Lord, let the hope within all of us draw us closer to you. And we thank you for who you are, Lord Jesus, and all that we have in you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Eva, thank you for calling. Thank you for listening. And we want to minister to people. That's one thing that this program's about. And we want and thank you for calling and letting us know. Got little time. Connie, we don't have a lot of time. Go ahead with your question, please.
Okay, two questions. In the Apostles' Creed, it says that Jesus, when he died on the cross, he descended into hell. And then when he rose, he was resurrected to heaven. Now, my second question, then I'm going to hang up and listen. After Jesus did resurrect, how many days was it before he saw anybody again or anybody saw Jesus again? Like that afternoon? Was it a couple of days? I'm going to hang up and I'm going to listen to your answer.
Okay, Connie. Let me answer the first one real quick. That very morning, he saw some, and he would see quite a few in the evening that very day. And, Alex, there were several sightings on that first day, and then the next Sunday he'd appear again. What about him descending into hell? Do that as quickly as you can.
Yeah, this is in Ephesians 4, 7 through 10. Look, I love the Apostles' Creed, but it's not Scripture. Now, I do think it sets forth a lot of scriptural truth, but Jesus did not burn in hell to achieve our forgiveness. He suffered on the cross. That's called the atonement. he did go into the realm of the dead and led the believing saints of old to heaven, but he didn't burn in hell. He went into the realm of the grave, Bert, and that's Ephesians 4.
Amen. Brent and I are smiling because Brent and I were talking about that Monday, and we could have let Brent answer that question. He was ready for that one, so we thank you. Thank you for listening to Exploring the Word, and tell someone about this program, but more importantly, tell them about Jesus.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
We'd like to thank Preborn. Preborn has rescued over 200,000 babies from abortion, and every day their network clinics rescue 200 babies. Will you join Preborn in loving and supporting young moms in crisis? Save a life today. Go to preborn.com.